Just yell, lady.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, good Lord. Good evening and welcome. Come on in to Erie House as we got some special fun stuff for you tonight. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with
Dave Binkley from The Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and we have a very special guest tonight, Dale.
Yeah, that we do. From a local yet. I'm excited that there's a lot of Cleveland and Ohio references here that we'll hear tonight. From Cryptic Radio.
That's your cue.
Is that me?
That's your cue.
Jeremiah, yes.
That's
yes.
The best
it's
you're going to get.
Jeremiah Isley. How's it going, everybody?
Hey, we got
Jeremiah. Thanks
room.
For coming in. Thanks for coming in today to share some memories of old time radio, but also a production that you yourself have been deeply ensconced upon in. And tell us a little bit about your organization. Tell us about Cryptic.
Okay, so yeah, Cryptic is, I guess the best. The way people are calling these things nowadays is an audio drama podcast, right? So actually Crooked Path Productions is my radio or my production company, I guess you could say. And we our first foray into audio or radio drama launched this past fall with Cryptic, which is basically a classic radio drama adventure distributed via the podcast platform, if you will.
Very cool.
And so this is you've been in audio production essentially for like 20 years, and this is your first foray into this kind of an environment, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, like late 90s, I got into audio and did a lot of work in local recording studios, live sound, theatrical sound. I've done everything, pretty much everything but this type of project. I've done a lot of podcast production in the recent years. And it really was sort of a natural progression for me. I love theater. I grew up doing theater work, being both on stage and backstage and sound and all of that. And I just kind of put those two things together, you know, audio and theater. And it just made sense for this to be a project that I worked on. And yeah, so this is, you know, my first official launch into the world of audio drama, and it's been super exciting and lots of fun. Just the whole process, I've loved every second of it.
I think it's so interesting. So many of us that have played into the foray a little bit with radio drama or audio drama have done so. We're older. We've done so because we love old radio programs and many. Mm-hmm. Many of us our age, if we hadn't discovered it before that, it was the CBS Radio Mystery Theater that brought so many people to love radio drama. And so it's interesting that you didn't have that background, but yet you still arrived here. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah. it's funny because I'm like, I shouldn't be into this, right? You know, but I have those memories of, I was pointing back to Christmas Story. You know, everybody remembers. Like when I try to explain, like what am I doing, and people don't that aren't familiar with radio drama or you know this audio drama sort of revolution that's happening in the podcasting world. I always point them towards A Christmas Story, and every day he rushed home and he sat in front of the radio and listened to Little Orphan Annie, and it was this crazy adventure and. Essentially, that's what this is now, and it's been growing in recent years in podcast form, and I don't know how I landed there. I think, you know, just in the back of my mind, I remember seeing things in movies and other forms of media that sort of harken back to that, that time. And again, you know, just loving theater. I've always loved doing readers theater too, where you just sit and listen to actors reading and telling a story. And I think that just kind of all, you know, rolled into a big ball and became Cryptic. And like I said, it's been such a fascinating process. I've really enjoyed putting this together, especially from a producer's perspective, where it's everything. It's soundtrack, it's acting, it's casting, it's writing, you know, all these pieces that I just kind of get the fun of collecting them from all these different places and putting them together. So it's been a wild ride so far.
There really is something special about doing your own editing and controlling as much of the final product as possible. Dave and I have both been involved in hosting old movies, public domain films. And we like, as much as we like performing it, the editing is like the most fun part, it seems.
Yeah, there's a little bit of, I guess it kind of strokes that control freak in each one of us. Because when you're editing, you know, nothing gets out that you don't want to get out to the public. There's a really sense of control and finding that pace and that rhythm that you really think is going to respond with your listener or your audience. It is a really fascinating process.
You know, it's funny how you mentioned the Reader's Theater, where people, they basically sit in chairs in front of people. They're holding this script or story and reading it, taking, you know, doing the different parts. That is so close to audio drama that it just, just a half a step away with a guy standing over here doing sound effects and another person over there playing an organ or something, you know, it just,
right.
How close that is to audio drama, especially when it's done right.
Yeah, it's super close. You know, it's like a stepbrother or a cousin.
And so, how do you get your actors and such? Are they just people you've worked with throughout the years and such? And
yeah, essentially, there's a theater in Barberton, Ohio called Magical Theater Company.
Sure.
And
yes.
I have been, well, I worked with them years ago, like early 2000s, did a lot of work with them. Great, great people there. I can't speak highly enough of them.
I actually went to college with Dennis. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So, you know, yeah. Dennis, I mean, just, you know, salt of the earth, great people and, super talented. And then for the past, gosh, going on 5 years now, I've been their sort of resident sound designer. And so a lot of the actors come from my time working with Magical Theater, other places that I've worked, but a lot of them come from Magical Theater. Actually, the guy who plays Cole, who's the sort of the co-lead of Cryptic, is my brother. But there's also, you know, it's funny because I look at the cast that we have, and there's a lot of folks that come from Magical Theater and my time there. There's people that come from an old day job that I know that you did theater. Do you want to be in this project? And they're like, yeah, sure. You know, kids that I spent some time doing youth ministry in my local church, and, you know, people that came out of there that I knew had, you know, screen time and stage experience, and now they're adults pursuing careers. They were in the show. I mean, it's just this really crazy collection of folks that are a part of my past and all have this shared love of theater and art and music, and just really, really cool to look at, sort of this conglomeration of people that came together to make this project what it is. And it's been really fantastic to see that.
And you know, I noticed you had Tim Doherty in there as well, who was your announcer. He's an Akron. He's been here in Akron forever. Did a little bit of AKR TV, and then he's been at the Radio One group forever. How did you snaggle him in?
So, it's this weird life that I live, right? Every summer for the last 3 or 4 years, I do a lot of live sound, and in the summers I work down at Lock 3 in Akron. For those who are listening that may not know where that is, it's like right on Main Street in downtown Akron. It's this big outdoor venue. Like, they pack in like 5,000 to 7,000 people there on Friday and Saturday nights. So I'm part of the sound crew that works down there, and Friday nights especially are all sponsored by WONE. Every night they have a radio personality that comes out and kind of MCs the night and everything, and they all sort of take it in a rotation, and Tim's down there, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times a year doing his thing. And so we've just kind of gotten to know each other a little bit through there and connected over social media. And it was actually really getting close to October 30th, which was the day that we premiered the first episode released of Cryptic. And I hadn't yet cast, you know, I hadn't gotten these intros recorded. And I was like, you know what, I can do a radio voice. I'll just record them myself. And I wasn't happy with the work I was doing, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And so I just, on a whim, I shot Tim an email. I said, look, my budget is like gone. You know, can you help me out? I'll give you a T-shirt and a few bucks and whatever. And he was just super gracious. He's like, dude, yeah, I'll help you out. Totally. You know, it was a couple pages of copy, and he banged it out for me real quick. And now he starts off every episode of the season. So it's been really cool to see things like that happen. And he was very, 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 very gracious to do that. And he is already on board for season 2. He was very happy to help me out again. So
and
he'll be back.
And Dale, if that isn't a cue to start the first episode, I don't know what is.
Sure. Let's listen to a little bit of your work. This is called The Serpent Mound.
Yeah.
And, it's a two-part feature. Here's part one. We'll be right back to talk a little bit more with Jeremiah.
Adams County, a patchwork of history and culture. You know you want to come. And why not? You dreamed about it last night. You felt the draw. The cold sweat poured from your face as you looked out the window, knowing you would come here, be compelled to come here, be forced to see what you saw in your visions. And the Outlet Mall has a shiny train for the kids, plus an IHOP. Adams County, what did the dreams tell you? You're listening to Cryptic.
Okay, so what do we have, Chuck?
Not a heck of a lot. UFO was seen over Alliance.
Military jets.
Bigfoot sighting in Dayton.
Bear with mange.
Right. I don't know, guys. There's not much here. I mean, I don't have to make a show out of.
Well, that's a relief.
What does that mean?
We can have a little break, some downtime.
You just came from 2 years of downtime.
I mean, dealing with Dad, processing grief, you've heard of it.
Okay, jeez, I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking.
Yeah, well, some time for real life stuff would be nice.
Or we could try to make a show.
Chuck?
Just saying, I get paid by the show, you know.
Aw, chuckles. Always coming down to dollars and cents.
I've got a mortgage.
Don't we all?
Do we? Do you even know what one is?
So maybe see if we can piece together some sort of montage episode?
That's terrible.
Sorry.
All right, I'm just thinking out loud here. It might be nice to remind people of who you are, Julie, for new listeners.
Do you think they could forget this?
No comment.
Okay. Nothing to use?
Nothing. Nada. Well, we did get a message from an old fan of the show down by the Serpent Mound.
Serpent Mound!
An ancient funerary earthwork possibly made by the Adena people thousands of years ago.
Oh, man, it's crazy that I can still remember that.
Well, it's super crazy for me because I slept through most of those boring lectures that day.
If only you had paid attention. Kidding. Total snooze fest.
How many times did we go there?
What, like 12? Dad loved that place.
I liked it more than most of the places he dragged us to. It was nice.
Nice? The largest effigy mound in North America is only nice?
You sound just like him. Effigy mound? Calm down, Beavis.
Just saying, effigy mound. It's a fancy way of saying we have no idea why they built it.
Well, this Ruthie Platt lady says that she's been experiencing temporal distortions and electromagnetic manifestations.
Oh, those are the right buzzwords!
And it's Ruthie, huh? We've heard from her a bunch of times. Sometimes her tips even pan out.
So, what you think?
Couldn't hurt to check it out.
Oh, no daytime trips, though. I'm having a hard time in the morning getting up.
You're going to make this a nighttime gig? Yep.
What's wrong with that?
She gets cold.
No, I don't.
Do too.
No, do not.
You should have brought a jacket. You always get cold.
Not always.
You gotta be prepared. Backpack, water, flashlight.
Hold.
What? Ow! Stupid! Ow!
I'm impressed. It's like you're trying to break your ankle.
Well, you're not having the best night either. Ow! Stupid log!
Oh! Oh, that's right. Show that log who's boss.
Ha ha.
And will you keep it down? Honestly, it's like you want us to get caught.
Caught by who? They don't have armed patrols here. It's not a secure site.
It doesn't have to be a secure site, Rambo. The Serpent Mound is a national park. They have rangers or something.
Not a national park. A historical site. It's a historical site.
It doesn't matter what it is, Cole. No points for being specific.
No, who's being loud?
Now is being loud.
And I missed you in Chicago. Why?
My inner glow, which is better than my outer decrepitude.
Your words, not mine.
But you were thinking it. Classy.
Yeah, well... Ow! Oh, my God! What's with the log here? Let's go in the day, he said. We can see things that break our legs in the day, he said.
I'm not a day person, Cole.
Since when?
Since mind your own business. Are we near it yet? I'm antsy all exposed like this. I'm not quite ready to spend another night in rural lockup.
Third time's the charm, right?
I think the thing I miss the most is the methods. Not that it matters. It's always in and out in an hour or two.
Speaking of meth, Julie, you look tired. Are you sleeping?
Of course I'm sleeping. Too much sleep. Chicago is just... Oh, never mind. Let's just not get caught this time, okay?
I just don't know how you're dealing with Dad. And...
I'm dealing fine.
You can talk if you want to.
Does it look like I want to talk?
You know, you could always stay at my place. My wife...
Aaron.
Who?
Your wife.
Oh, yeah. Well, she would love to have you. You wouldn't have to spend your time in that rundown house in the falls.
I'll think about it.
I wish you would. We've been worrying about you. The kids want to see you.
Oh, sure. Let's concentrate on the now, okay?
Okay. Ow. Oh, my God. Stop it, love. Oh, we're here.
Pride of the Adena.
It's smaller than I remember.
We were smaller then.
Dad always said this was a good place to see things, right here by the mouth. An active zone, he would say.
Active, huh? Too active these days, I gather. Can you feel it?
Yeah. That's what this Ruthie is suggesting. temporal distortions and electromagnetic manifestations.
Great. Lost memories and static electricity. Hardly earth-shaking. I guess things have changed in the last 2 years.
Dad would have checked it out. Anyways, Ruthie's a fan, Jules. Calls in all the time. Leaves messages. Some have panned out. You gotta take care of the callers. You know that. That hasn't changed. Well, the stars are out tonight.
Yep. Stargazing from the head of the serpent. Poetic.
Dad would have said something profound right now.
So, where's her gal?
Around. Supposedly. It's time. She should be signaling us with a flashlight to show us where... Hey, I thought I heard something over there.
We might as well check it out.
Look over here!
What did you say?
Nothing. I thought that was you.
Nope. Huh. Weird.
God, now there's fog. Perfect.
I guess we should get looking.
You don't sound enthusiastic.
Do you think there will be more logs?
There's always more logs, Cole. Come on.
Stay on the path. Less chance of...
What was that? Did you hear that?
It's an owl.
Hell of an owl.
You don't think it could be...
What?
You know.
It's cold and creepy out. Stop with the guessing game.
I don't want to say it.
No. Not this again, Cole.
It's a valid fear.
This isn't Mothman territory. No Mothmans. Mothmen. Get over it.
You weren't there.
Calm down.
Okay. Calm down.
Where was all that energy with that thing in Geauga?
What's that supposed to mean?
Your little fainting spell up by the maples?
Look, I told you. I don't know what happened. It was like an overwhelming surge of...
Oh, sure. Overwhelming. Always an excuse. And then I get left with the mess.
You get the mess? That's not true. You know that's not true.
I was practically the flippin' maid cleaning up your mistakes.
Oh, here we go again. Always whining about who has to do more.
Yeah, well, your memory is part of the problem.
Shh. You hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
Let's just check this out and see what's happening.
Sure, run toward the devil noise. I miss this.
And I've missed your positive attitude.
Excellent report.
Look over here! Look over here!
There we go again.
Yeah. So, keep on going? Not too crazy, right?
Not yet.
Hey! Are you there? Ruthie Platt, you there?
This is so idiotic. Who does this anyway?
What?
Secret messages, tip-offs, clandestine meetings, meeting people at national parks.
Historic sites.
In the middle of the night. There's got to be a better way to run a business.
We've always run the business like this. Anyhow, it worked for Dad.
Yeah, look where that got him.
He was doing what he thought was right. Finishing
what he started. Finish what you start. He said that to us 1,000 times.
And he was usually right.
Up until it killed him. The silent treatment. Touched a nerve, I see.
You weren't here. You didn't see him at the end. He changed when you left.
Did he? Great. That's great. I'm glad he did. Change, that is. I can only hope he changed on a fundamental level.
He wanted you back to be with him.
After all he did?
What? What did he do that was so horrible?
Are you kidding me? Are you listening to yourself, Cole? Do you even hear the words that are coming from your mouth?
He missed you. We both missed you.
Yeah, well, only one of you counts now.
This is getting ridiculous. Ruthie Platt! Ruthie Platt!
Oh, for God's sake. She was probably pulling our leg. It's not like this hasn't happened before. Coming to the Serpent Mound at night. I bet she's filming us right now.
In this mist? No. She said she had something to show us. Something about the mound itself.
At the equinox? Here? This was a mortuary site, you know? Most likely thousands of human remains are under our feet at this moment. It's a regular graveyard.
Don't be dramatic.
Don't be dramatic. It's a charged mortuary site at the equinox in the shape of a giant snake. What part of that isn't dramatic?
There's a meteorite impact crater here, too. It was...
Hey,
that must be her.
About time. Ruthie, we're here!
She was probably just turned around in the fog.
Sure, sure. Wait up!
It's coming. It's hungry, hungry, hungry.
What's coming? What's hungry?
Cryptic is presented by Crooked Path Productions and is produced and directed by Jeremiah Isley. Written by Adam Hoffman. Starring Kristen Larson as Julie Kurtz, Joshua Isley as Cole Kurtz, DJ Remar as Chuck, Becky DeHart as Ruthie Platts. Sound design, Foley and editing by Jeremiah Isley. Additional Foley by Benjamin Payne. Music by Corey Heddleston and Benjamin Payne. Executive Producer, Jeremy Sneed. Narrated by Tim Dorey. Please subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcatcher. For more information and up-to-the-minute updates, visit our website, crypticpodcast.com, or follow us on social media at Cryptic Podcast. And for early access to new episodes and exclusive merchandise, become a patron of the show at patreon.com/crypticpodcast. And of course, you can always call the Cryptic Hotline at 330-422-3839. Thank you for listening, and happy hunting.
And stick around, listeners. We've got more of this particular story, The Serpent Mound, coming up a little bit later on. But now we're back with Jeremiah Isley from Cryptic.
Hey. There it is.
Great place to I just say great place to end the first part of the episode there.
You know, just want to keep people coming back for more. So leave it on a little cliffhanger. Nice little question, you know, what's coming? What's hungry out in the middle of the darkness of night at the Serpent Mound? So, yeah.
Besides my first wife, I can't think of a thing.
And to point out, that is a historic place right here in Ohio, the Serpent Mound.
It is.
Down in Adams County that you're talking about. It's just this is that you're building a story around a real place, and that is so cool. And in this sense, it is essentially a giant burial ground. Why not have strange things happening there?
Exactly. Yeah. I really have to give credit for a lot of the, I guess, the Ohio history and the legends and stuff that we use. Adam Hoffman, who you may have heard, you know, listed in the titles there, he wrote and really, you know, I say I co-created it with him. We both put our heads together on the project, but he did so much work on this, and he's always been a historian and loved, you know, cryptids and legendary creatures and all these things. And so, so much of what is put into the story and these locations and creatures and the history of all of that really comes from him and just the great work that he did on the show. So yeah, if you hopefully your listeners and you as well will listen to more of the season, I hope you'll hear lots and lots of other actual real places that Cole and Julie visit and real legends and things that take place here in what seems to be nice, suburban Midwestern Ohio. Really, you know, there's a lot of weirdness that takes place here too. So we really kind of capitalize on that, or at least we try to.
And we have a chat room. Go ahead, Dale.
Oh, I was just going to say, I did a little bit of research before the show, and I saw a list of your seasons. And yeah, there's so many references to Ohio lore in this, in terms of the supernatural. I'm going to enjoy listening to many of these. Are very enticing.
Cool.
And during the live podcast here, we do have we have some people that we can't see, but we do have people who are in there that we can see and make comments. And CW just mentioned a wonderful, very X-File style. And I knew you'd want to hear that, because it's always great when you do something like it. It is really great to get feedback. But we also have Fogg's Bane. Linda Lou didn't make it tonight, looks like, but Serpent Society is there, which is Evil Annie, I believe. So it's we have, those are the ones sitting right here in our live view, and they're getting some comments as we go along here as well. So
awesome. Well, I appreciate that compliment, and grateful for the people listening. Really appreciate it.
Folks, this is a really good story. You did find some, much like Dave, you seem to have a knack for finding talented people to work with you.
I see what you did there. I like we said in the last segment, just so many people from my past come back to work on this. I'll give a little bit away, keep people interested for the next part that we're going to play tonight. You will hear a creature vocalized in the upcoming installment here. And oddly enough, she's an actor who acts at Magical Theater, but she dated like my best friend in high school. And so we knew each other for years in high school, and she went away to college, and we just kind of, you know, that was before the internet and social media, and so we just kind of lost touch of each other, and we both landed at Magical Theater, you know, 15 years later or whatever it is, and so here she is, she's in this show. Like, it's just, it's one of those things where I'm just extremely blessed and fortunate to know people that are willing to contribute to artistic endeavors like this. It's been unbelievable. Like, every time I think of somebody, you know, that I listen to an episode, or I work on an episode, or look towards season two or whatnot, I'm like, how did I even know this person? You know, and it's just these crazy stories.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm assuming, since you were there at the Barberton, the Magical Theater Company, which actually started in Akron. You're from the Akron/Barberton area, or where?
So I live in Talmadge, Ohio.
You're a stone's throw away from me in Goodyear Heights, so yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So my wife and my family and I, we lived in Akron in Highland Square for about 13 years. My wife grew up in Talmadge. I grew up just down the road in Ravenna, which I don't often admit. And
I'm sorry. That's Ravenna.
Yeah. Ravenna. It depends. If you're on the east side, it's Ravenna. If you're on the west side, it's Raveny, and anything in between. as everybody in Ravenna turns off, what am I saying? They can't stream. We lived in Highland Square in Akron on the west side for a long time, and we finally, about, well, going on 4 years now, we've been in Talmadge, back in my wife's hometown, and we love it. It's great, and I'll give a little tease to season two. Episode 3 is entitled The Blue Devil. So the Talmadgeites. I don't know what we call them in Talmadge. The folks in Talmadge will get that reference as it's the high school mascot is the Blue Devil. So it's going to be a fun one. I actually just got the script from Adam a few days ago, and it's a lot of fun.
I have one of my friends volunteers that lives out there, and he said actually it was originally, because there's two L's, it was originally pronounced Talmadge, Talmadge, but now it's everybody just calls it Talmadge. So
yeah, I've often wondered about that because of the double L, you know, why is it Talmadge? But
actually it was Talmadge, so that guy's 82 years old, so I can't argue with him too much.
Right? He knows what he's talking about. He was there.
He lived it. He lived it, yes.
Right? He probably even has the T-shirt.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well.
Now, have you, Jeremiah, have you had the opportunity to listen at length to any of the old time radio shows as you got interested in this project at all?
So I did some. I enjoyed some of the early Superman shows, the series that they had, which I just thought was the coolest thing. You know, it's a superhero thing. It's this old art form, and, you know, back then seemingly comic books were sort of a newer art form, so like they were all like cutting edge back then. And, you know, we think of like, oh, how cutting edge all the Marvel movies and all superhero movies are now, and even back then, almost 100 years ago, if you think about it, they were again cutting edge, you know, cutting edge graphic novels and illustration, and then technology-wise with the storytelling. So I listened to some of that. And then, like I said earlier, there's a lot of folks nowadays that are producing shows like this. The audio drama category, I guess, in podcasting world is growing every day. There's a lot of really great shows. So I did listen to a lot of the newer stuff as well, just because I wanted to hear sort of their sound design approaches, their techniques for that. And again, you know, one of the bigger productions that is doing it today, Marvel is doing a Wolverine series. But again, you know, here it is, superheroes, and it's sort of this new, I love that people are calling this new medium. Because it's older than television, but it's sort of resurging, and there we are again with superheroes. But there's a lot of really, really amazing indie producers out there making audio drama that, I mean, there's endless hours of it that you can go and listen to. So I love what's happening with it.
And they're not making a dime from it either. So there you go.
Yeah, you know, some of them are doing a little bit, but a lot of them do it for the love, for sure. And, you know, kudos to them, because it's just a really cool thing to see.
Yep.
We here don't... It's a form of storytelling we don't want to see disappear. Part of the reason that we're sharing here, you know, Dave's been a fan much longer than I have of old time radio. This has been, you know, for an old guy, this is a rather new pursuit of interest. And I'm just absolutely enamored with this form of storytelling. It predates the television horror host, which Dave and I have both been influenced by. And, you know, having anthology stories or other chilling tales is really the precursor to the television horror host when it comes right down to it.
Yeah. It's interesting. There's been a few folks that I've approached to be involved in the show, and they are members of SAG-AFTRA, and it turns out that because of that, I would have to pay them a lot of money on the show.
Not
because,
just money,
you know,
a lot of money.
A lot of money, you know, more than my entire budget. But because it falls under SAG-AFTRA's new media category, and like I said, it predates television. But, you know, here we are, audio drama being categorized as new media. Just the wheel keeps turning, I suppose.
Dave, we should go on strike. For higher wages. We're not paying ourselves enough.
All right, two kumquats for you, Dave. Two kumquats.
And now we're mad at us. Whatever that means.
So, hey,
but no one but yourself to blame.
You, the listener, are going to be even madder if we don't get back to this exciting story. The Serpent Mound from the Cryptic Podcast. Like that segue?
I love it.
Oh, good. Let's get back and wrap it up. We'll be back with Jeremiah after this.
Adams County, a patchwork of history and culture. You know you want to come. And why not? You dreamed about it last night. You felt the draw. The cold sweat poured from your face as you looked out the window, knowing you would come here, be compelled to come here, be forced to see what you saw in your visions. And the Outlet Mall has a shiny train for the kids, plus an IHOP. Adams County. What did the dreams tell you? You're listening to Cryptic.
Where did she go?
Ruby Black!
Oh, my hand! My hand! It got my hand!
Come on, hurry!
Hold on. I don't think we should just rush off into the fog at night, at this place least of all. At least show a bit of caution.
Julie, don't be such a wimp.
Don't be such a wimp. What are we, 12?
You would have handled yourself better at 12.
I think something ate her hand, dumbass. Don't make me smack you. Give me a flashlight. I can't see a thing. Did you charge these batteries?
They're brand new. It's this place. Ruthie mentioned it in her email. Electrical disturbances. Lights, sounds. Electrical disturbances. Lights, sounds.
Okay. Nice echoes.
There shouldn't be any echoes.
Reverse echoes? Oh, nice. Did Dad ever talk about reverse echoes?
Do you remember anything?
Not a thing. Thing of nine. Mixed up echoes? Ooh-ha! This is fantastic!
Okay. New plan.
I'm listening.
We'll look for Platts for another 5 minutes. And if she hasn't shown up by then, we'll get the hell out of here.
That's the first reasonable thing you've said all evening. What the? You feel that? Like a pressure change?
Yeah, just like... Never mind. Ruthie! Ruthie!
Sweet Christmas!
What?
There was a really intense chill back there. Arctic.
Oh, that's never a good sign.
Oh, ghosts, please not ghosts. Stupid, stupid ghosts. They are so lame. Ghosts are idiotic. I'm freezing cold.
Let's keep going.
That was no echo.
I know.
I said that like 10 minutes ago.
Julie, please don't restate the obvious. Ruthie!
Ruthie! Cole? You hear that?
Yeah. I hear it. Is anyone there?
Ruthie!
Sounds big.
Yeah, I don't see anything, but I spoke too soon.
Oh, man. I don't like the look of that.
Yeah, not what you want to see late at night.
You see those
Claus. Claus, I noticed. If there's one thing I know, it's Claus Cole.
Back away. Nice and slow. Nice and... What? Where did it go? Oh, it's behind us now.
No, we reverse back away.
What?
No, you idiot! When I hear them, Cole. And a dead flashlight. The throw lockup is looking really good right now.
I see you.
Ah! Ruthie, is that you? The fog is
me. Please help him. I am.
I'm trying.
I'm changing. Please. Help me.
Cole, are you there?
Please. Cole. I see you. Please.
This place. Don't wander from the mound. Stay near it. I got off the path and it's like a void here. Keep on talking. We can find each other if I can't believe it. That's impossible.
Mound, Julie. Gotta know where you're going. Can't afford to get lost. Not now. Oh, I called again.
Please, my face! Oh, please!
Help me, Julie!
Call over here! Over here! My flashlight! Oh, thank God. Follow the light, Cole. I'm by the light.
Julie?
By the light!
Please, no poltergeist references.
Hey, I'm here. I thought I lost you for a minute.
A minute? It was
help
more
me.
Than a...
I have too many... Oh, my arms. They're itching. My arms, they're itching.
She's close. Real close.
That thing is close, too.
I don't know if there's a difference anymore.
Oh.
Oh, man. Thoughts?
Don't walk too far from the mound. I can tell you that. It's not safe.
It's not safe here now. What are we going to do? We have to get out of here right now.
What would Dad do?
The best we've got.
Jules, please. Like with the patterns we do.
Patterns. Okay, finish what you started. He always said that helps with these things. So what do we have to finish, your brainiac?
Look, this mound. No one knows why the Adena made it, but it's a trail, a path, a symbol of capture, a prison maybe. You know how you keep things in or out with a protective circle, right?
How many times do I have to tell you I slept through that stuff?
We need to make the full circuit around. A full circle, a full pattern. We're caught in an unfinished journey. An unfinished time. Maybe that's why we can't find Ruthie. She's here, just not now. Or maybe she's here now forever. Maybe she's changed somehow. Maybe she triggered this. Maybe we did. I don't know. I'm not a freaking quantum physicist.
Calm down. Triggered what? What did you see out there?
I stepped away from the mound, Julie, when I was looking for you. I stepped away, and it wasn't night anymore. It was day. No fog. It was different, this place. The mound wasn't complete. People were building it, using... I can't remember exactly what they were using, but it felt wrong. Wrong on a primal level. I stepped away from them, and then I was somewhere else. Some time else. No mound, no people, just a forest and something streaking down from the sky. And then we were there again, you and me, and other people in different clothes. All part of this place where they built a trap.
A trap?
A trap for what?
Something that's still here. Or something that's created here. I don't know. Damn it! Oh, we have to go. Keep on moving around the mound to finish the pattern.
You couldn't have told me that first before your long-ass speech!
Julie, I swear if we get out of here...
We'll do something just as stupid. We never change, Cole. We keep making the same dumb choices, even when we try to get away.
Try to get away.
Try to get away. That's us. Not just the echoes. That's us in the fog. Do you see that?
That's not us. We have to keep moving. Don't look back, Julie. Don't look back.
You see that? Up ahead by the mouth. It's up.
Oh, we're about to start.
Look over here.
Look over here. What did you say?
Nothing. I thought that was you. Well, that was a bus.
Come on. Faster.
I hear you. It's stopping!
Julie?
The nickel. Keep moving.
It's back.
I know.
In front? Behind? I can't tell.
Don't waste time thinking. Move.
Help me! Oh, please! Don't leave me!
I've got you. Come on. Did it hurt you?
My backpack. I touched it, Cole. I touched it. We have to go.
Stay with me. Stay with... Do you feel that? The fog. It's gone.
Ruthie.
She's gone. Or in there. Either way, we need to get out of here.
Damn it, why did I miss this?
You can't stay away from this stuff. You know it.
Jeez.
Every time, right? Every time, it's always the same rush.
Nothing like a mind-numbing terror to end the day.
You know you missed it. You've got that glow now.
Fear glow.
Right? Typical night for the Kurtz kids. So, how does it feel to be back in the game?
How does it feel? Fantastic. I feel fantastic.
So do, ow! Oh, stupid log!
Cryptic is presented by Crooked Path Productions and is produced and directed by Jeremiah Isley. Written by Adam Hoffman. Starring Kristen Larson as Julie Kurtz, Joshua Isley as Cole Kurtz, Becky DeHart as Ruthie Platts. Sound design, Foley and editing by Jeremiah Isley. Additional Foley by Benjamin Payne and Sarah Isley. Music by Corey Heddleston and Benjamin Payne. Executive Producer, Jeremy Sneed. Narrated by Tim Doherty. Please subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcatcher. For more information and up-to-the-minute updates, visit our website, crypticpodcast.com, or follow us on social media at Cryptic Podcast. And for early access to new episodes and exclusive merchandise, become a patron of the show at patreon.com/crypticpodcast. And of course, you can always call the Cryptic Hotline at 330-422-3839. Thank you for listening, and happy hunting.
Wow. Wow, I'll tell you what, a nice tale with an interesting twist at the end.
Yep. Yeah. So one thing you'll learn about the Kurtz twins is there's a stream of wreckage that sort of follows in their wake. We refer to a few times in this season, and it's a number that's going to grow soon. We refer to the tally, as it were, and it's a number of people that have lost their lives or disappeared under mysterious circumstances, and they keep track of that number, and it's something that sort of haunts them and motivates them, and so it's not always pretty to go out into the woods with the Kurtz twins at night.
And that's the kind of stuff we like here on Eerie House, that's for sure. We hope that we can share more of this stuff with our listeners going forward, because this is fun. This is refreshing. It's different.
Cool. Well, thank you. Yeah, definitely. We'll see what we can do to make that happen for sure.
And you use GoFundMe to help raise money to put these together.
Right now, we use Kickstarter.
Kickstarter, okay.
And we currently are actually right in the middle of our Kickstarter campaign. And let me tell you, there's probably never been a worse time in the history of humankind.
Or human unkind.
Right. It's been difficult over this past week. Although this morning we did have some pledges come in, which was very, very awesome. We were very excited to have that. But so there's about 10 days left on the Kickstarter. It closes at the end of March on the 31st. And we are trying to hit our goal so we can produce season 2, which finances aside, you know, we're going to see some challenges in this season, just because of, again, the global things happening around us and the uncertainty of all that. I've talked with a lot of my cast and my writer, Adam Hoffman. We're working through all of that. And the wonderful thing is that this isn't the 1920s and 30s and 40s. The technology is there that we can still produce things, even if we have to record certain things remotely or whatever the case may be. So season 2 will happen one way or another, but it'll probably just end up meaning more work for me.
Perfect.
Yes, we do know how that works. Yes, we do. Before we went out, Eric, Dale and I were saying, well, it looks like I'm going to have to go back to the basement to do my one-man show. I'm thinking, well, I might have to do that too, and I've never done mine from the basement.
It's uncertain times for sure. But if history is any indicator, we are, if nothing else, resilient. So we will press on.
Oh yeah, we'll all press on, I'm sure. But the journey is going to be the fun part. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
These are interesting times. I'm trying to think, not to go into it too much, but we have not seen anything of this magnitude basically since the Great Depression hit us.
I think it's interesting that, again, not to jump down this rabbit hole too far, but a lot of people, since this has hit, a lot of people start talking about, in 1918 there was this worldwide pandemic and mass graves and all of this stuff, scary stuff. And that's how where they're getting these pandemic curves and how we're trying to flatten it and everything. And I appreciate the leadership of the state of Ohio that has been very proactive in that.
Yes.
But I think what everybody forgets is that what followed that was the Great Depression. You know, like,
yes.
I don't know that that's ever been linked, but
I think the Depression was a lot of different things. You had the Dust Bowl going on. You had, there was It was a perfect storm, and of course, then
yeah, yeah.
Then the stock market
yeah.
had its little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't, right. you don't mean like our stock market crash and the wildfires throughout the world and no, you didn't mean anything like that today.
No.
Look at you.
No. But yeah, so there it is. There's our world affair, I guess, right now. But season two,
yes.
Anyway.
And there's the news.
But yeah, we're raising funds through Kickstarter, and if anybody wants to check that out, there's a couple cool things that I think it's a lot of fun. That there's certain pledge levels where you can actually pledge and make a cameo appearance in an episode. Which is, I think, a lot of fun. We had one person do that last season, and so they didn't have to come in studio. They did it on their own time. I had them phone it in, basically. And so there's lots of ways that we can do that. And you know, if you want to disappear mysteriously and be added to the tally, you can certainly do that. And you can also name a character. So we'll have some sort of walk-on characters that you can name after a loved one or a not so loved one or whatever. So lots of cool stuff like that where you can actually be like literally a part of the show. And you know, that's been the cool thing about this, you know, being in the year 2020, there's a community that's starting to sort of form around the show, people that are enjoying it and sharing it and writing us and commenting on our posts and things like that. So you start to get to know the people that are frequently enjoying the show and stuff like that. It's been really, really fun.
And how would they go about finding your Kickstarter account?
So a couple different ways you could do that. You could just go to Kickstarter.com and search for Cryptic Season 2. It'll come up. We actually got featured as a quote-unquote project we love by Kickstarter. So it's been a lot easier for folks to find it just by going to Kickstarter and searching for it. Or you could go to crypticpodcast.com, and on the homepage there is a button that will take you right to our Kickstarter campaign. And also, if you want to find out anything else about the show, you can do that there at crypticpodcast.com. There's links to like all the different podcatcher places that you can listen, you know, Spotify, iTunes, whatever. You can also stream every episode on our listen page as well. They're all available right there too. And all kinds of other stuff going on there too. So that's like kind of our central place. I just say, hey, go to the website and you'll find whatever you need. So, yeah.
And,
very good. I visited again your website and a list of episodes. Some interesting stuff. There's some places in Ohio I'm hoping that you'll reference going forward, like the Dave. How many places have you visited?
Because what we do is we do our show on location, and kind of a killer right now, and then we tie our movie in with the location. But yeah, I've been to probably about 95 different places to host our thing. It's an amazing number of places, historical sites, or just regular places here in Northeast Ohio. That
I was referring to your private life, Dave. Some of the haunted places. That would be great fodder for Cryptic.
The old Mansfield Reformatory and places like that.
We hit a number of them in season one. We do Top of the World, the Punderson State Park, the lodge there. So lots of Ohio places. Some of the places we're going to visit in season two, we're going to go back to Punderson again. We're going to do Squire's Castle in Willoughby Hills.
Yeah,
we'll be heading down to Loveland and hopefully encountering the Frog Monster. so yeah, lots of cool stuff coming as well for season two.
Wow.
Great stuff to look forward to.
A couple things we can do as we move along is we have a jukebox and we have a wheel of radio, Dale. And as we get to Jeremiah warmed up to spin that wheel, why don't I reach into my a pocket here, get you a virtual dime for the virtual jukebox that we have going on here.
Let's spin it. Let's do it.
All right, put that dime in there, Dave.
Okay, I'm going to reach over and put it in right now.
Well, I see Tommy Dorsey's next. Tommy's here because so many of you asked for him. I can understand you boys asking for Tommy Dorsey's band because I, too, come from a musical family. My grandpa, Snazzy, he likes music so well, every time he hears a woman singing in the bathtub, he puts his ear to the keyhole. Tommy Dorsey playing the Song of India. That was really swell.
Yes, it was, Tommy. Thank you. Tommy Dorsey with the Song of India.
And good old Bob Bazooka Burns introducing him along the way. So there you go.
There it is. I spun up a good one. I'll take the credit for that.
You did. You did.
So
yeah, we've been specializing here in usually in the macabre or some science fiction. There's a lot of great science fiction radio that sprang right from pulp magazines, science fiction magazines like Astounding Tales and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. You can easily see how film was influenced by some of these early radio stories and the
science fiction movies
that followed afterwards.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. I love Mystery Science Theater 3000 and
great.
You know, just to sit and watch them skewer some of those. And honestly, I mean, some of those films are just classic, you know, but they always have a fun spin on it. But yeah, that so much. I mean, you look at like The Blob and, you know, Day of the Triffids and just, I mean, there's a countless, right? Science fiction, horror, monster films and stuff that really, I guess they, you know, it was the natural progression, right? From just hearing the story, you know, you go from reading the stories to hearing the stories, and then there's a visual medium that comes from that. So I think that's the cool thing about where we are today is there was a point where they were trying to do the next best thing, you know, the next best thing was television and then movies or your vice versa. But now people are telling stories in a format, in a way that they want to, or that they feel it would be interesting to tell it in that way, right? Like YouTube and the internet and Vimeo and they've made it so much easier for independent filmmakers to make their films, share their stories in that format. And now podcasting and the platforms that host podcasts have made it infinitely easier for people to have their stories heard via, you know, audio drama or like what you guys are doing. You're doing your radio show and it's via the internet. So yeah, it's a really fascinating time to be alive for creative type folks who want to create creative content and art and share it with an audience. And it's people are able to find their audience now better, easier than ever, you know.
And that's why I tell people if they want to host movies or do whatever, there is room for everybody. But the best thing to do is to do it your way. Don't imitate somebody else. Do it your way. Mm-hmm. And be yourself, and you will find a niche, and there will be people that will find you. Maybe not see it enough, but they'll find you.
Yeah. Right. I think the pitfall that a lot of people fall into as well is they think, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get found, and then I'm going to be a millionaire, and then this is all I'm ever going to do. but that, if that's your motivation, I have really bad news for you. But if your motivation is I want to tell this story, or I want to express myself in this way, and I think that it would be fun, and maybe there'll be some people that'll come along and enjoy it. Then one, it's like you said, do it your way. It's authentic, right? It's totally you. It's what you want to do. There's not some, you know, corporate bigwig over you saying, no, it has to be this way. You know, those rules are gone. And, you know, do it for you and for the love of it. And people will attach to that more than they will just some crazy thing that you think everybody's going to want to see. So, be yourself, do it because you want to do it and you love it.
Yes,
and the thing is with entertainment too, and Dave and I have talked about this many times, It's so clear to an audience when someone's truly enjoying what they're doing, whether it's whatever medium, visual or audio. It doesn't matter if it's clear that the performer or performers are enjoying themselves. It radiates. It exudes.
Absolutely. It really does. You know, I was very fortunate when we produced the first season of Cryptic. We pretty much did everything in a single week. It was pretty intense. But a few nights I had a friend of mine who's a great videographer. He volunteered. He's like, I'll just come and shoot some sort of behind the scenes footage and stuff. And I cut some of that into, there's a little video on our Kickstarter page, and it was so fun because everybody was just having such a great time. We had so much fun working on this show. The performances, you can tell it in the performances.
Yes.
You can tell it by, you know, just how everything came together. I just released, if you go on our show feed on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast, I released a gag reel. So again, just more sort of behind the scenes, us goofing, and you can tell like everybody is just having a blast. And,
I know what you're talking about there, because at the end of my show, after my credits, usually I run bloopers, or I call it behind the scenes, because also during a rehearsal, we'll let the camera run.
Yeah,
and you could see, you could genuinely tell that we are having fun doing this. You could tell that, as you said, you could tell that in the performance.
Yeah, it comes out, you know, and if you're into or thinking about whatever it may be, starting a podcast or a YouTube channel or whatever it is. Do what you love to do and do it for the love of it. And, you know, you may be lucky someday and be able to find some funding and make a little bit of money at it, but don't let that be the driving force. Be authentic, enjoy it, love it. I worked many, 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 many hours on season one. You know, up from, you know, all the way back from conceiving what the show would be, all the way through hours and hours staying up till 3 a.m. editing and sound design and recording Foley and all that. And I never once hated it. I never once said, oh, I got to drag my butt into my studio and do, you know, I loved every minute of it. And I can't wait to do season two. So, I'm losing money.
Gee, we wouldn't know anything about that, would we, Dave?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So it's, you know, I don't know. For what it's worth, you know, take that advice to the bank or not.
everybody who visits Erie House is a winner. And Dale, no better way to win it than to have Jeremiah step up to that wheel of radio and give it a big spin.
Oh, I get to spin more?
That was the jukebox. This is a spin.
That was
here.
A jukebox. Now we got a big wheel like those big gambling wheels, you know?
All
like a roulette wheel.
So you gotta,
all right, I'm ready. Is this like the Price is Right one, like that big thing that they spin?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
something like that.
Perfect.
All right, reach up to the tippy top and give it a tug.
Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
The Tasty Breadwinners, directed by Ben Selvin, and Harry DeCosta at the piano, and here they are, Billy Jones and Ernie Hare, the Tasty Loafers.
Representing Tasty Bread. How do you do? Blue, 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 blue. How do you do? How do you do? How do you do?
I'm Billy Jones.
I'm Ernie Hare,
and we're a silly looking pair. How do you do?
Say, Bill, what time did you get home last night?
Oh, about a quarter of 12, Ernie.
Well, what are you talking about? It was 2:30 when you left my house, and
sure.
It must have been at least 3 o'clock when you got home.
Well, isn't 3 a quarter of 12?
That's right.
Yeah,
dear.
Ernie, I had a great time.
Yeah.
But can the lady of your house talk?
That's funny. After you left this morning, we were on our way upstairs to retire.
Yeah.
And she said, is everything shut up for the night?
Mm.
And I said, yes, all but you, darling.
Yes.
You know, I woke up too, Bill, during the night and saw her going through my pocket.
Well, what did you do?
I just turned over and laughed.
Here's a pretty little ditty that has taken
all the nation by storm.
In the world of rhythm, history is making.
It is hot, not lukewarm. This song is about a pair of spooners
who have come to the parting of the ways.
Although the balloon is honeymooners,
she hollered for days and days. What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
If you're on the loose, then I will meander.
But if you're true, then I'll be true.
I'll do anything that you do. If you fly around like another swallow,
I won't run away and I won't even follow.
But if you settle down, then I'll settle down.
I'll do anything that you do. You're just like the little red hen. You haven't been home since you don't know when.
But you remember, if I ever roam,
you won't find me till the cows come home.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
If you raise the deuce, then I will meander.
But if you are true, then I'll be true. I'll do anything that you do.
Oh, there's so much fun when the daily work's done.
Hot and tot, 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 tot.
Ta hot and tot, 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 tot,
ta hot and tot, 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 tot.
Nearly everyone when the daily work's done.
Like hot and tot, 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 tot.
But honey, I'm not blind.
You better keep this in mind. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. I won't take abuse, I'll start to philander. If you honk honk, then I'll honk honk. I'll do anything that you do. If you run around like a rambling rover, you'll have no excuse when our love is all over. If you pluck pluck, then I'll pluck pluck. I'll do anything that you do. You say that the way you've been are treats like something the cat brought in.
If you aren't careful, then you're going to learn. Some fine day, the worm will surely turn. What's good for the goose is good,
good
for the gander. If you raise the deuce, then I will philander. But if you're true, then I'll be true. I'll do anything that you do.
Okay.
That was
a great old classic.
Billy Jones and Ernie Hare were the Happiness Boys, and then here are the Tasty Boys, because the Tasty Bread Company sponsored them. These are from about 1923-24. Sold a lot of records back in their day as well. When Billy Jones died and Ernie Hare was still around, Billy Jones' daughter took over, and they did several records with still being Jones and Hare. So just a couple little side notes there on the Happiness Boys of Billy Jones and Ernie Hare.
Neat.
Big radio,
so they became
recording song stars. So there you go.
There you go. So they became the Tasty Boys. They sold out basically.
Well, Happiness Boys was for some other company, so they couldn't be the Happiness Boys when they went to Tasty Bread Company, and whoever they were for the Interwoven Socks Company at one point. And they were the Interwoven pair. So whoever sponsored them, they'd become that team. But it was always Billy
I like
Jones
it. Follow the money.
Follow the money. Oh my!
Such fun.
And we still have a few minutes left here.
You were talking earlier about Mystery Science Theater. Dave and I, of course, were influenced by all the Ohio horror hosts. It was a huge tradition in the 50s, 60s, 70s, even into the 80s, and started petering out in the 90s, the phenomenon of the television horror host.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one fellow, the ghoul, who would sometimes put crazy sound bites in movies. And there's a really old song that he used I'd like to share. Anytime there was a modern-looking plane flying or a spaceship, for some reason the ghoul felt compelled to drop at least a portion, if not the entire song that I'm about to play. Obviously, a song about Charles Lindbergh, obviously, from Nat Schoenfrith and his orchestra.
Yeah, it reminds me, that song exactly reminds me of at the 50th anniversary of his flight. Professor Bob Holland and I put together a six-hour program of Lindbergh's life. 5 hours of it was actually about his life, and we had 20 different volunteers that did different parts. And then the last hour was an interview with a biographer, a Lindbergh biographer. So it was a really cool project that actually won a state award on. And when they called the station manager, let her know, he said, "We wish we were in a different category because we're not up to the par of National Public Radio." But he said they wished there was a different category. And she said, "Why is that?" So he says, "Because you beat anything that National Public Radio sent in." And so I was pretty proud of that. But again, all
that's amazing.
Being surrounded, like you, being surrounded by all these talented, unbelievable people. It's just absolutely amazing what you can do when you have all these talented people around you that just can't wait to get their teeth into something else like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey Dave, you're propping me up. I want to thank you, Jeremiah, for stopping in and sharing not only that great story, but a little bit about yourself and Cryptic. Folks, don't forget to visit and donate, if you will. Help keep a cool thing going. We will be back next week. I have no idea what we're doing until I pull it up here. Ghost stories. Yes, with The Shadow, Suspense, Johnny Dollar, and we'll have another CBS Radio Mystery Theater on Saturday. We'll see you next Friday at 8:30 Eastern. Ta-ta.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And him.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Timed that almost perfectly. It's like I've done it before.
Wow.
No, there's some lag time with the pod, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
It's annoying. It's not a science, but I love doing this live. I absolutely.
Yeah.
Dave felt like a little nervous at first, didn't you?
Extremely. First time I called in, Dale answered it with a, go ahead and play that soundbite there, Dale, that you played. The 911.
Oh, yeah.
I know you got it. Yeah. So I called, they were saying something, and I called in, and Dale played this message.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Wait, what?
And I hung up.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, I've always been more comfortable with a script in hand and
such.
Although Dale's learned me to loosen up a little bit at times. And then, of course, on Fridays we get to work with Gar the Ghoul, who's doing his show live, starts in a few minutes here. And
cool.
he does a live show on iVlog TV, and it goes for about 4 hours, unless he gets off and meanders, and sometimes it goes five or six.
Wow!
And he does it all live and without a net, and that scares the heck out of me. Dale's done good at loosening me up to some of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a disc jockey service for the longest time, and I was influenced heavily. In fact, I used to appear on a show regularly, playing bit characters and whatnot, and use those appearances to get myself nightclub work as a nightclub disc jockey.
Right.
I lucked out to do that for a long, long time, and I don't care how long you do something live. If you're not at least a little bit nervous, there's something wrong with you. I think the trick is to channel that nervous energy into your articulations, your gestures, your whatever it is you're doing as far as entertainment-wise. If you can channel that, I think you've got it made as far as overcoming nervousness.
100%. 100%. Yeah, I've been on stage. I've worked behind the scenes. You know, lots of live performance history. You know, for myself, and I always tell younger kids or whatever, like, oh, I'm so nervous. I'm like, it's okay. You should be. You know, if you weren't nervous, I'd be checking you for a pulse. Like,
yeah, that, or you might be a sociopath and we don't want you anyway. So
exactly. So, a little bit of nerves, you know, like you said, use that. That's energy that your body's stirring up. So put it somewhere, and it'll help you out. So, totally get that.
That was
a lot of fun, guys.
I once read where Johnny Carson, they put a heart monitor on him one day, and it was through the whole day. And as the day went on, closer to showtime, his heart rate would keep going up and going up. It was just like beat really, really fast. Just before the curtain opened, when he walked out and told his first joke, went right down, to normal. Because, it was the buildup to that. And for many years.
I guess
for many years, the only thing he missed about doing that show afterwards was the monologue and writing for the monologue. So he used to send a bunch of jokes to Dave Letterman. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
After he retired, Dave Letterman's show was the only one he appeared twice, and it was two appearances after his retirement. They were both on Dave Letterman's show.
Wow.
So.
Huh. How about that? That's pretty crazy. Yeah.
I just think it's so cool that you're doing this, Jeremiah, too, because right now, this environment with all this internet access and the mobile devices and so forth, you know, it's some of us up until recently, I had a very long commute. now it's sort of a telecommute. I do
exactly.
My work from home. But what is cooler than listening to a good drama story that's where I've really started taking a recent interest just prior to, you know, starting to work with Dave here on Erie House was enjoying a good story. You know, you can't really watch one. You're trying to pay attention while you're driving, but you can get involved in a really good story.
Right. Absolutely. And I always tell people, you know, audio content, whether it's drama or radio or talk shows, whatever it is, you know, audio, it's not going away because of that. You know, people still have to drive. They still do the dishes and mow the lawn and all these things. And they like to listen to things while they do that.
So,
some people listen to music and I do that myself, but other times people want to listen to a story or hear an adventure or be taken somewhere else. And so that's where we come in with these cool stories and try to make that happen. So, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, that happened to me once, but they didn't have any proof, so I got to get out. So anyway.
funny. No, thanks. I really, really appreciate you guys having me on and giving me some time and helping me spread the word.
We'd love to have you back sometime too. And again, if we can, we'd like to, maybe share some more of your stories in the future.
Maybe when you're ready to kick off season two, let us know and we can bring you back on again. But there's one thing that we do at this point, and since you're the guest, you get to do it. We always have Jimmy Durante take us out of the program, so as guest, you get to call in Jimmy Durante to say goodnight.
Oh, all right. Hey, Jimmy, why don't you take us on out of here?
Good night. It's time to say goodnight. Good night. What for this sake but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
The foregoing has made it obvious to me that we've had quite enough for one evening. We shall save the rest until next week when I shall reappear. Until then, good night.